Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, the Beaker's Dozen edition. Andrew, what do you think of the term Beaker's Dozen?
So I'm surprised we didn't come up with it.
Right?
It was put out on a shirt. I don't know if it was an official shirt or whatever, but it says Beaker's Dozen. And of course, we said Baker's Dozen last week. It's so easy to make that jump, to make that logical leap, to make that joke. Beaker's Dozen. I do like it. But what are your thoughts generally on the term Beaker to describe the Jayhawks Jayhawk fan?
I'm not a fan of Beaker. But I really like the old school, like, Crimson Beak'em shirt, you know, like Beak'em Hawks.
Right. That's the straightforward beak and eyes
beak
looking straight
and the
out
eyes
at you.
Looking at you, Beak'em Hawks. Because that's like old school 90s, you know, me growing up shirts. I like those shirts.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I love the term Beaker. Because that's what Jack Harry used to call Jayhawk fans in a very pejorative way.
Sure.
Like in a very like mean spirited, like, hey, those Beakers down the road in Lawrence.
Right.
But I think that we need to reclaim that word. He used that as a bad word. Now only Jayhawk fans can call each other that word.
I'm not sure I'm a fan of the word Beaker, but in the context of Beaker's Dozen, I really like it. I got to get a Beaker's Dozen t-shirt. I will certainly be going after one of those at your local area, Sampy. Andrew, we had two double-digit wins this week. It's been a while since we've had two double-digit wins in one week.
Well, we had Schedulegeddon. Schedulegeddon does not allow for very many blowouts.
Mm-mm.
But we did in barely against Texas. TCU was a traditional blowout, especially in the second half. Texas was here and there.
It should have been a blowout.
Right. We ended up winning by 10. We didn't really play hard or really at all in the second half, but good to get that double-digit win. You know, there's a lot of things we need to talk about. Josh Jackson was charged with a crime, misdemeanor. People went nuts. We won two games, a lot going on. But before we begin, before we get into this TCU game a little further, before we get into the Texas game, And before we kind of really jump into the meat of the Big 12, you know, what's going on, who we're going to play, before we do any of that, I think we need to have a conversation about Bill Walton.
Do we?
Yeah, we need to talk about Bill Walton.
Okay.
When I found out that he was going to be the color commentator, I was kind of excited about it. He's kind of funny when I'm watching, you know, Pac-12 games. You know, he's kind of entertaining. He does his thing. And so I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I was actually kind of excited about him at the very beginning of the game. And boy, was I wrong.
I got mixed emotions here because I like Bill Walton. I think he's...
I do too, but I couldn't do it.
It was pretty bad. It's one of those things like maybe you like him because he doesn't call your games.
Yeah.
But when he calls your games, you're like, maybe I... Maybe I don't like him as much as I thought. I tend to agree. He clearly knew like three things about KU basketball. He knew where everybody was from. He was really good at that. He like that's the one thing that someone put in front of him, and he like figured out
that's
where
listed
everybody...
on the roster. Sheet.
Right. So that like he knew that really well, and that's about it. Like that might have been it, actually. Like that might have been all there was that he knew about KU, which was, you know, whatever. Like it was different than Fran. Sort of get sick of Fran after a while, and so it was kind of nice to not have Fran. I'm not either, but I just, you know,
it's something different.
It was different,
and you can have different and have it just be like some Joe Schmo.
Sure.
C-team, D-team, ESPN guy. Or you could have Bill Walton. So it's good to have new energy in the Big 12 for that. But, oh, my God.
Yeah,
Oh, my God. I couldn't handle it.
KU Twitter turned on Bill Walton pretty quick.
Turned fast. I think at the beginning, people were like, okay, let's see what happens here.
Yeah.
And then you know, get the pitchforks out. We're coming. You know, I'd be interested to know what a Pac-12 fan would say, like what their thoughts is. A Pac-12 from a non-UCLA school.
Right.
Because I bet UCLA people love the guy. Because all he does is talk about how great UCLA is. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And he does talk about how great the Pac-12 is. But, you know, if you're Arizona or if you're Cal or if you're Oregon, you know, good schools from the Pac-12, and he calls your game. Let's say it's an Oregon-Cal game. Are you excited that he's calling that game?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be interesting to know. But he was, you're right, it was different. I think probably our good friend Brian Haney probably got a few more listeners in that second half.
Switching to the radio. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it was what it was. He was definitely vintage Bill Walton. Like, that is, we got the real Bill Walton.
Well, and you know, that they asked him to do that, and he's like, nah, I'm good. And then they're like, you can get your picture taken next to the Willie Nelson statue. He's like, I'm there. I am there. Let's keep Austin weird.
All right. Well, I kind of hope it's the last Bill Walton one for a while, unless he comes to Allen Fieldhouse, because that might be interesting.
I think we'll see. Like it. You know, that'll kind of change him. That'll kind of get him caught up to date on who this Kansas team is and what we are. Because he kind of seemed like, to talk about KU as if it was the KU team from 40 years ago.
Yeah, he kept having personal anecdotes about his time with Wilt Chamberlain. But, you know, yeah. It wasn't playing. It was, like, off the court at some, like, club. You know, like, those were his anecdotes with Wilt Chamberlain. So I guarantee those dudes definitely smoked together. Like, that is 100% true.
Yeah.
Probably did more than that, but whatever. All right, Angie, you mentioned it. Let's talk about it very briefly. Josh Jackson was charged with misdemeanor. What did they call it? Was it just misdemeanor? What was it again?
Was it criminal damage or something?
Criminal damage. Is that what it, I don't know what the actual terminology ended up being. Whatever it was. I did find it interesting. You know, I immediately tweeted, okay, how many games does he miss, or does he miss any? And a lot of people are like, oh, he misses one or two or three. And then it comes out, self's like, nope, he's not going to miss any.
I'm good. We're good.
So,
nope. We're good.
You know, the one thing about it, it's clear that Josh talked to Bill about this back when it happened, right? Like, it was that Bill clearly had his arms around this thing happening a long time ago, because there was some sort of, you know, I don't know. The thing I keep hearing is, like, there's, quote, two sides to this story, and I don't know what the other side is. I don't really care to know, but clearly there was something more going on here. Otherwise, you would think a misdemeanor charge, and he didn't miss any games back when it happened, and, you know, I don't know. It's interesting to speculate. I'm not going to, but there you go. Didn't get charged or didn't miss a game. There will be more potential fallout on the criminal charge or whatever. But, and then Devontae Graham on his birthday, Andrew, after the TCU game, gets booked up as well. Goes in on an expired whatever ticket or something. He was driving Mario Little's car. I don't know, whatever. I don't know if it was really Mario Little's car. I like to think it was Mario Little's car, but he was booked as well. Also not going to miss any games. So it brought out Missouri Twitter and K-State Twitter talking about how KU players get booked and don't miss any games. What are your thoughts on those two getting arrested or getting charged and arrested and not missing any games?
Well, the Devontae Graham thing, that's just a
bonehead,
a silly thing. That's, yeah, a bonehead deal, but not necessarily like he did anything bad. He just, he should have shown up to court or got, you know, 100% assurance that that tag got taken care of. You know, you don't need to miss any games for that.
Right.
The Josh Jackson thing, I just don't know what really happened, you know, and there's still a lot more to come. And you know, maybe it wasn't him or maybe it was something else going on. I don't want to say yes or no. I have no idea. But, you know, if Bill Self doesn't want to suspend him, then he must know more than we do.
Yeah,
or just doesn't want to suspend him. I don't know.
Or maybe he just doesn't want to suspend him, which, you know what? I sort of support that.
That's fine. Whatever.
This goes to show, we talked about this on a few podcasts ago, though. Like, if you're going to take somebody to go vandalize a car, take someone further down the bench, right? Like, take someone way down the bench.
It's the Brandon Green theory. It's the Brandon Green theory of you got to have, if you're going to get in trouble, you got to be like the seventh person on the bench or worse.
Right. That's
but
it.
But not
that's
Tyler Self or not Tucker Vang. Somebody where it's meaningful, but
in the middle. Not. Yeah. In the middle. Yeah, so, and I sort of tweeted that, and I got a lot of responses like, no, it should never happen. Like, it is unacceptable. I'm like, whatever, I'm done
okay,
here.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. All right, Andrew, let's get to the recaps, because I want to talk a little bit more about how we got to the Beaker's Dozen. That TCU game, Frank had 20 points, 4 assists, Devontae had 17. Josh had another double-double, 15 and 11. But, Andrew, it was Carlton Bragg that kind of came out and showed me something in that game. Maybe the best game he's had as a Jayhawk. 15 and 7, 3 blocks, looked really active, really good, played above the rim. What did you think of Bragg?
You know, he did look really good. So, something you didn't really expect. You kind of, not necessarily have written off Carlton Bragg, but you know, you kind of knew what you're going to get. He's going to be a guy to come off the bench and get a couple of rebounds, but not really be an offensive threat, you know, like he was last year. But, you know, it's good to see him get involved, especially if we do need an extra big man down there. So the TCU game was very encouraging from him. The Texas game was not encouraging from him.
Yeah, he got a couple quick fouls. It was pretty ugly. And then Dwight came in there and owned it. So why pull him? I mean, Dwight played great. So I guess in total, like, you look at those two, with Bragg having a good game off the bench and then Colby having a good game off the bench, it makes you feel a little better maybe about the depth at the position, because you got, you know, come the tournament time, you got Landon pick up a foul, you bring Carlton in, and if he doesn't do it, you got Colby there too. One thing we didn't see was Mitch in those two games.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while. I
haven't seen
Milk
Carton
Kid, Mitch Lightfoot. Where is he?
Where's Mitch at?
Where's Mitch?
Mitch on Frank Mason. Okay, so we had the TCU game. Let's talk about after the game. They had a video showing the 13 going back and showing lots of players from over the course of the streak, brought all the trophies out. Self said a few words. Were you there at that game?
I was not. I was
out of town. You're
out of town. So I did not get to
see all the trophies.
See that game. Too bad. I did get to see the video on YouTube later on Twitter later on.
It was nice.
But, you know, I've been at all those, you know, they bring all the trophies out games, and I think it's great because they just keep coming. They keep stacking them. They need to get more interns every year just to carry all those trophies out.
I love it.
Or because you can't have multiple. They're heavy. You know, you bring one of them out, you're spent.
Right.
So just keep hiring more interns. But it's cool to see them all, you know, set out like that. In, you know, it's one thing to say we won 13, but you know, this, it's important that it's, you know, this team won it. You know, especially with, you know, all these other teams, you know, we were expected to win it from the outset, but it was not easy, even though we're going to win it by a couple games. But you know, it's. Can't lose sight that, you know, it always happens, but this one's important too.
This one is important, and we say it every year, and it doesn't change this year. It's so important not to just talk about the streak. I think it's really also very important to talk about this team and its specific accomplishments. Andrew, we are 14 and 2 in this Big 12. I think KenPom has Big 12 still way up and ahead, and at least in terms of the rest of the conferences, and I think one of the, like, the best all time in the KenPom era in terms of his numbers. So, like, this was a really good conference. Now, the last couple weeks, the bottom half has kind of fallen off, and people are going to say that, oh, maybe it wasn't that good, but You know, it really was. And so it was just a great season. And I know it's not done yet, but to lock this up with a couple games to go and secure the trophy, maybe winning the league by two or three games is quite an accomplishment. Definitely should not be lost that these guys, this team did it, not the streak, but the streak is nice. It's still nice.
Yeah, let's take an opportunity to criticize the West Coast Conference and Gonzaga at this moment.
Ooh, would love to.
Gonzaga lost to BYU last night.
Yeah.
BYU, according to KenPom, would have been their second hardest team KenPom-wise in the West Coast Conference that they play. So they've played them twice. BYU would be the last place team in the Big 12.
Wow. So there you go.
Yeah, so I think it just goes to show you that, you know, we have a Texas team and an Oklahoma team that are down, which they're usually pretty good. But still, you know, when you compare apples to apples, not necessarily records, those teams are fairly highly ranked and just, you know, shows you the strength of the entire league, you know, all being, you know, top 65 teams. And, you know, I'm not going to make the tournament, but, you know, to go night in, night out, double round robin, it's not easy to do.
Did Gonzaga fall off the number one spot in KenPom?
I will check. No, they didn't. They're still number one.
Still number one. So it's margin of victory that's kept them there, right? I mean, I know they had some early games that were pretty good, but KenPom likes it when you win by 50 points.
Right. And that's why KU's eighth is that we win close games. But we also play, you know, top 10 teams night in, night out, especially during the schedule getting.
All right, Andrew. Well, I think we touched enough on the games from this past week. I want to get into the Big 12.
Y'all ready for this? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
All right, quickly, Andrew, a couple big games from this past week. Iowa State edged Texas Tech by 2 points. West Virginia crushed Texas. Baylor barely beat OU. Oklahoma State crushed K-State. West Virginia barely beat TCU. Oklahoma State.
Controversy. Controversial.
Oh,
call.
Yeah, that was. Oklahoma State crushed Texas Tech. Iowa State barely beat Baylor. Good game in Ames. And then, Andrew, Oklahoma beat K-State by 30 freaking points.
That's crazy in a normal year, but in this year especially, that is surprising, shocking, unfathomable. Well, you know, what happened? What happened, Bruce Weber? What happened?
I don't know, man, but K-State looks lost.
You know, do you think that they played harder, though?
They probably played harder. They might have won the play hard chart. They might have won in the play hard chart. That's all that matters.
30 points. That is bonkers. I think K-State is, you know, on the bubble, but, you know, on the right side of the bubble in a lot of brackets. Jeez. Yeah, no, you know, just from what I've seen today, and that's just very surprising to me.
Yeah, well, the bubble's, quote,
they got to put somebody in. They got to put somebody in. And, you know, in a different year, there's no way.
Yeah, that's surprising. I mean, they have some good wins, though, right? I mean, they've got good wins. But man, yeah, they've lost 5 of 6 and 8 of their last 10, Andrew. K-State has. That does not sound like a team that's like getting
headed in the right direction.
Headed in the right direction for the tournament. So quickly, some games coming up this week to quickly preview. We'll talk about our game against Oklahoma tomorrow, but West Virginia goes to Baylor in a huge game, Andrew, for the Silver Self Cup. Like, big implications. I mean, this might be, Andrew, the game of the Big 12. Like, the most important game of the Big 12. Am I right?
Well, the secondary most important game of the Big 12. Well, yeah, so if you just take Kansas out of it.
Right.
And then you have, like, what's the most important game for the almost trophy, the Silver Self Cup. This is huge.
Huge.
So, 6 o'clock tomorrow, maybe need to just go watch that game somewhere right before our game. You know, I'm going to try to go to the game tomorrow, but you know, this has major implications.
It really does. I mean, Iowa State is right there. Iowa State could certainly fight for the Silver Self Cup. You know, they want it. You know, they're going to make t-shirts. If they win, you know, they are already thinking about what the banner is going to look like. But Baylor and West Virginia are right there, Andrew. Huge game tomorrow for that Silver Self Cup. Okay, so then we've got Tuesday. We've got some other decent games. It is... It's just Oklahoma State at Iowa State, which will be an awesome game, too. So we've got some really good games this week. Yeah, Oklahoma State at Iowa State.
Oklahoma State, I think, has been theoretically eliminated from winning the Silver Self Cup. They're two games back, and I think that, you know, West Virginia and Baylor has to get a win because they play each other.
Right.
It'd be very, very hard. So don't write them off, but I think they're written off. But anyway, they can play spoiler. They may be able to finish third, which is, you know, pretty good too.
Pretty good too. You know, well, maybe there will be a name for that position at some point. So Wednesday, Texas goes to Texas Tech. K-State goes to TCU in a game they must win. Actually, TCU must win, too. Both of them are probably thinking this is a, quote, must win. Maybe the winner of this game, Andrew, is the sixth team from the Big 12 that gets into the tournament.
Well, it's going to be hard for a team like K-State without a win, you know, to lose 9 out of the past 11 and get into the tournament. I can't imagine them making it far in the Big 12 tournament. So they're going to be, you know, they're going to be... The resume is not going to be looking good, especially the last 10. You know, they used to consider that as a metric, you know, the last 10. I don't know if they do, but not going to look great.
Andrew, is there a Friday game this week? I think there is. Iowa State at West Virginia Friday night. So, Friday night game, 6 p.m. Friday. I think, unless this is wrong, I think it's Friday night, Iowa State at West Virginia. Another, Andrew, huge game with huge implications in the Silver Self Cup race. Iowa State goes to Morgantown. And then Saturday, we play at Oklahoma State, which we'll talk about. Texas Tech at K-State in a game they also must win. TCU goes to Oklahoma in a game they must win. And then Baylor closes out at Texas for the last game in the Big 12 of the season, regular season. So, big games this week, Andrew. Big games.
Pretty big. You know, we can coast. We can coast. But everyone else, they're fighting for it.
There's a big fight brewing. There's a fight brewing. All right, Andrew, let's talk about some power rankings.
The power lies on their side.
All right, Andrew, go power rank. KU's number one, right? Got that. Now we got a little fight for 2 through 5. Right now I've got West Virginia right there. How you feel about that?
They're playing the best, I think. Maybe other than Oklahoma State.
Yep.
You know, they're playing the best. Otherwise, you know, and Iowa State's playing pretty well too.
They are.
So I would say, you know, they're going to play each other this week. They're going to have a chance to settle their disputes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at West Virginia, too, is in an acceptable spot.
It was tough. So and truly, it was between them and Iowa State. So Iowa State's won 5 in a row. West Virginia's won 5 out of 6. The one that they lost was that heartbreak at Allen Fieldhouse. So it's a, you know, they're right there. I have Iowa State 3rd. Andrew, this was the hardest one on the entire sheet. Baylor or Oklahoma State? I put Baylor, but it was really tough. How do you feel about 3-4?
Well, Baylor has a head-to-head win against Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I think they beat them twice. So that's a reason why, you know, you could jump them up there. You can keep them ahead of them. But Oklahoma State is playing incredible right now, and Baylor is headed in the wrong direction. I still keep Baylor above them at 4, but Oklahoma State is a 4.5, is a worthy contender, worthy team for that number 4 spot, maybe even higher.
Yeah, this was really hard where to put Oklahoma State. So we talked about this several podcasts ago, but Baylor was at one point the number 1 team in the country. Everyone was talking about how Baylor was going to, you know, maybe challenge Kansas. And you and I got on this podcast and said something about, I've seen this movie before, right?
We've seen this movie
before. I've seen this movie before. And Baylor's somehow going to Baylor. And Andrew, losing 3 out of the last 4 and 5 out of the last 8, is Baylor Baylor-ing right now?
You know, some of those games, it's not unfathomable for them to lose them. Like, they're losable games, and it's not outrageous. But this was a team that was undefeated for a long time, one of the last undefeated teams. You know, they were saying a number one seed. And, you know, I think Baylor's going to win the Big 12. People are like, oh, you know, finally going to dethrone Kansas. We have this very talented Baylor team. If they want to be that team, if they want to be the team that everyone else was talking about, they did not accomplish that. They are very far from it. And in that sense, I would say Baylor definitely Baylored. Now, are they still a good team, putting themselves in a good spot?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they're good.
Whenever they get elite, whenever they get, like, you know, ranked really high, that's when they start to Baylor. They start to Baylor.
They Baylor a little bit. Although they're still a tough matchup for us, I think. Even though we've beat them twice, I still would, you know, maybe prefer to play some of these other teams in the Big 12. Okay, Andrew, this was also tough. The 6, 7, and 8 position, I had no idea what to do here. Because here's what we're talking about. We got TCU, who's lost 5 in a row, K-State, who's lost 5 out of 6 and lost 8 out of 10, and Texas Tech, who's lost 5 out of 6. What do you do?
You just rent. You put them in there by your favorite. So that means you put Texas Tech, TCU, K-State.
I thought about this. So that was my first. That was my first order, and then I started looking at the teams a little closer, and decided TCU was, like, probably the next one. It was really tough. Although K-State and Tech probably have better wins on their resume. Anyway, it was tough. I put TCU, K-State, Tech. I don't know if it's right. I don't frankly care. You do hear about TCU and K-State being on the bubble. Tech, not so much. Although Tech, you know, they could probably win their next two and have a chance. So we'll see. And then I have OU and Texas to close it out. I put OU at 9, even though they've lost 9 of 11, because they beat K-State by 30 points.
Yeah. Throw them that bone.
They've been playing better.
Right. So it's those young guys. Those young guys are pretty good. And we'll talk about them here coming up, because we got them tomorrow night, senior night. We'll talk about these young guns. Out of Oklahoma, who will be good? Who will be good? Who are good, but will be good later? They're just not having the season they wanted.
No, I think you're right. So, Andrew, we occasionally do a preview to the preview. Let's do that right now on the Big 12 tournament, because we're going to probably have a Big 12 tournament preview next week, which I'm really excited about. Like, we're almost to freaking March. This is crazy. But let's do a quick preview to the preview, mostly because I just want to start talking about postseason basketball. So March 8th through 11th. Basically, we don't know who's going to be where seed-wise other than KU's number one. Iowa State, West Virginia, Baylor will be 2 through 4. We know that, right? Somewhere in some order.
Well, Baylor could slide down into 5.
They could.
Oklahoma
State
could move up. So two through five is really up in the air.
Which is pretty wild. And then in some order, 6 through, I don't know the head to heads here, but 6 through 10 is not fully open either. I mean, if K-State loses the last two, I don't know who they play. So it might,
they're all within 2 games with 2 games left. So there's a lot of movement.
Yep. So it could be wild. I didn't even want to try to figure out where people are going to be seated, but you get the picture that it's still up in the air quite a bit. We do know this. We do know that KU will play Thursday at 1:30 on ESPN2 against the winner of the 8-9 matchup. So again, that could be K-State. That could be Texas Tech. That could be Oklahoma. It could be Texas. One of those. And then if KU does win that game, they play Friday night at 6 o'clock. And then the final, Andrew, should they get through, is at 5 o'clock on that Saturday before Selection Sunday. Are you excited for some Big 12 basketball?
You know, it's always a fun time to have it there in Kansas City, the Sprint Center with the Power and Light District across the street. You know, I'm pretty excited. There's a lot of good teams. I think the top 5 teams in the Big 12 all have a chance of going pretty far in the tournament, and so it'll be interesting to put them against each other, you know, see how things shake out. I like KU's chances in the tournament, but, you know, I think any of those top five can win. If Oklahoma State wins that tournament, no one's going to be like, oh, that's a crazy upset.
Yeah.
Those top five teams are all pretty good.
I think KU, assuming they take care of business at Oklahoma, or I'm sorry, at home against Oklahoma, and wins, even if they lose to Oklahoma State, they win their first game. Do you think that still locks them up a Midwest number one?
I think so.
I do too. So worst case scenario here is assuming we take care of Oklahoma and we take care of one of that first game. I think that we're looking at maybe, you know, if we don't win it, are you one of those guys like, let's get Frank some rest? Like a lot of people you talk like KU Twitter, it seems somewhat torn that they'd be cool with that. Assuming you had Midwest one locked up, what do you think? Or do you want to see him just win it?
No, Frank gets better when he plays more. Like with any other player, it's different. But Frank is better, is worse when he has more time off. I truly believe that.
Yep, that's fair. I mean, we're in a little bit of a little bit of a run here. I would hate to take some of the momentum.
Let's just
down.
Go out and play basketball and win games.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with you, by the way. I'm not for it. Now, what I don't want to do is if we're up by 18 points with 4 minutes left, freaking have our starters in there. Like Bill does that all the time.
That's different. Nuts. That's different.
But yeah, the tournament's a long ways away.
We should punt the semifinal game so we get, you know, an extra day. I don't believe in that.
These guys have been playing on 2 days rest all year long. You have from Saturday to next Thursday. I mean, you got 5 days you get off. Even if they play all 3 days. So yeah, I agree with you. Let's just go win the damn thing. So that was our Big 12 tournament preview. Andrew, real quick, let's do a little water cooler conversation here. I saw some talk on the KU Twitter there about how they maybe think Svi is in a little bit of a struggle town right now and that Vic has been playing better. And I decided to raise the question to you and to Twitter, who would you rather have playing the bulk of the minutes, Svi or Vic right now? And why?
Let's walk through this. They both can't play defense. Svi's a little bit better of a defender.
Or is he?
But sometimes he sometimes gets lost, especially in pick and rolls, especially in team defense about adjusting where to be. He gets lost a lot there. Vic doesn't know what's going on defensively. You know, he's way behind. Offensively, Svi shoots threes and he's just been missing threes. That's the deal. And when he's been missing threes, he pump fakes, drives, and then throws the ball and turns it over. Like this has happened many times. He's scared to shoot the three, so he drives, and then he tries to kick it, and it gets stolen, knocked out of bounds, or something like
that. How many times has he thrown the ball over the backboard? It feels like a lot. the ball ends up on the other side of the backboard on a drive.
Well, they run that play. There's a play that's kind of by design. Where they do that. It's a Manu Ginobili play that Bill Self stole from Greg Popovich for Svi. Svi does it. Like, that's his job. They don't always do it great, obviously. But it is effective when they do it right.
So I did a very informal Twitter question on this question, and Vic won overwhelmingly.
I'm still sticking with Svi because Vic just doesn't play defense.
It was interesting.
He does do better dunks. He does do
way better dunks.
And maybe that's a big reason. His dunks are amazing.
And he's seemingly a little quicker, plays a little bit more athletically, obviously plays above the rim quite a bit more. I think he's quicker, and you think that translates to better defense. People on all of these responses seem to think that he's a better defender than Svi.
I don't think so.
I think he might be, but Svi's pretty good, but there are times when you can clearly tell whoever is going at Svi says clear out. I'm going to take this guy. And it's been, they've been pretty successful on a lot of games where they're attacking Sphy's defense. If he's not making threes, he's not adding a lot to the team. Vic, I think, can add some other things to the team and can shoot the ball pretty well from three. That said, I don't think Self is changing his guys. The top five have been the top five. Why would you change it now? You're freaking 26-3. You're 14-2 in the league. Sphy's going to continue to start, right? But at least you know you've got a, you got a, you got someone on the bench. You got someone there who's ready for it if Sphy continues to struggle. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So thought I'd throw it out there, see what you thought.
Sphy's my guy, but you know he needs to start making three pointers.
Yeah, he does. He does need to do that. It'd be nice to get him and Devontae to get the lid off the basket, man, and go bonkers here in March. Let's talk about this Oklahoma game. We got senior night for Frank, for Landon, and for Tyler. Andrew, power rank those three in terms of which speech you are most looking forward to.
Ooh, this is tough. I'm going to go
See, there's Landon, a clear leader for me. Really?
Oh, Landon, Frank, Tyler.
What? I'm way more interested in Tyler's.
Really? Like,
yeah.
What's he have to say?
He's going to have more anecdotes. Like these other, I mean, Landon is a great speaker. I think he'll have an excellent speech.
That's what I'm saying.
Frank's will be pretty slow and boring, short. I think. It'll be short. A man of not so many words, although I really hope he makes reference to Redhead, because come on.
Okay, time out. Any update on that? Have you talked to via Twitter or otherwise our boy Redhead out there in Hopewell?
I haven't. I'm going to. In fact, you know what? I'm going to DM him right now. How's...
Like we don't okay, we don't want to put pressure on him.
Yes, we do. We are up against it.
He needs time to create, but we're running into the wire here.
BIFM2 going. All right. There you go.
Yeah. I see it. I just
DM'd him. All right. So maybe he'll respond during the podcast. I'll let you know. So we'll hopefully have something an update on that on our next podcast. But yeah, it'd be nice if he gives a little bitch on Frank Mason, drops the mic. That would be pretty sweet. I think I power rank it Tyler, Landon, Frank, even though I obviously will be most sad about Frank. How about that?
Okay. I agree with that. But in terms of the speech itself, I'm sticking with my ranking.
Who's going to have the longest speech?
Landon by far.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, I think that Tyler gets it. You get in, get out, say your two funny jokes, say something nice, and then get out.
Yeah.
I think Frank is going to just kind of say Frank things and then get out. But I think Landon's going to talk.
All right, I'm going to set some over-unders here. I want you to give me your true thoughts. For Frank Mason, senior speech, from the second he starts the speech, like, not during the applause, from he actually starts the speech, 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, that's a great line. Thank because you. I think they're told 5 minutes. And a lot of them go over, a lot of them don't. So you're already cutting Frank short. I'm going to say over.
I'm going to take the under.
Okay.
Like, applause is the problem. Because there might be some if he like pauses and does like a tear thing, like that'll be a minute of clapping. And that's the wild card. So Landon, I'm setting it at 6 minutes and 58 seconds.
Over.
Yeah, I think so too. And Tyler, right at 5 minutes.
Over, but like 5:02.
Okay. All right.
Like he's within that grace period of acceptability. Like I think Bill expects, you know, 5 minutes. He's like, hey, you know what? Tell your jokes about me. Let's get on with it.
I think you're probably right, but I'm still looking forward to those jokes. What's he going to do about Josh? Because Josh is probably leaving. And there's a chance some other guys might leave too. So does he like recognize them all individually? How's he do that?
I don't think he recognizes them individually. He maybe just has everybody give a round of applause. Not necessarily any the specific indication, but certainly Josh Jackson's gone, and maybe a couple other guys will test. Not sure, but with that, you know, delicate situation, I think you just say, "Hey, this is a possibility. We still want to recognize it anyway."
I like that. I think you're probably right. So the actual game itself, I think KenPom's got us winning by about 15. As we mentioned, Oklahoma's playing better. Kadeem Latin's been good. Odoms, they got that freshman with the great name, Cameron McGusty, who's scored in double digits in like 10 straight games. So
McGusty
doing work.
Gusting it up.
I'm a fan of that name. I hope he ends up being good. I think he will be. But Cameron McGusty, man, like, we might be talking about McGusty for a while. So, I mean, I think we win the game, obviously. Although, you got to be careful. I guarantee you, Bill Self is going to be bringing up that Gonzaga game. Senior night, underdog, 21-point underdog. I know this because I'm such a terrible freaking gambler. I took freaking Gonzaga minus 21. Plus 2,500 on the money line, by the way.
Wow.
What an insane game. So, yeah, there you have it. That would have, by the way, brutalized that that parlay we were talking about last night.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Done.
It was bad. You should have
gone the opposite direction. Just money line BYU. That's worth a little. Throw a little bone at it.
My goodness.
See if that pops up. 2,500. That's crazy.
25 plus 2,500. So yeah, crazy. And you, I mean, Bill Self would be bonkers not to bring that game up, because this is a trap game. You know, senior night, everyone's excited. We already won the Big 12. Is the energy level going to be there? You hope it does, mostly for seniors, right? And then, so yeah, what do you think happens this game? You think it's blowout city, another third game in a row with double digit win, or do you think it played a little closer?
Let's just say I think Tyler Self will be on the floor at the end of the game and get his curtain call with no problem.
I like that.
They'll put him out there and they'll bring him back out and he'll get his little curtain call.
That'd be the best. All right, I hope you're right. For that reason, I hope we blow him out. Andrew, let's talk about this Oklahoma State game, because right now we're still projected by KenPom to lose the game. Pretty high scoring game, 86-85. They don't really guard anybody, but their offense is legit. They're still number one in the Big 12 and Big 12 play in terms of offense, overall total offense efficiency on KenPom. Juwan Evans is obviously a stud. We know that. I think Mitchell Solomon is kind of an underrated big man in the league. Jeffrey Carroll looks good. I mean, they've been playing really, really, really well. And Chris Beard, after the game, Texas Tech coach, told the media that he thought that Oklahoma State is the second best team in the league. What do you think about that?
I don't know if he's right, but they're close.
They're playing really well.
They're playing really well.
How would you like to see them as a 2 seed in that 7-10 matchup, and they beat the 10 seed by 25 points, and you're Gonzaga. it just earned yourself a 2 seed, and you're facing Oklahoma State in the round of 32.
So yeah, what do you think they'll be? I mean, will they be 8, 7, 6, somewhere around there?
I think they'll be a 6 or 7.
Well, that second round, whoever, you know, you work really hard, you get the high seed, and you see Oklahoma State in the second round. That's got to be tough.
That would suck. I mean, that's like Wichita State when we had the 8-9. Like, they're a way better team than that. They got underseeded, and then they beat us. And that, if whoever it is they're playing in that, if they're 7 seed and they play that 2 seed, that I would hate to see them in that. I would hate to see that if I'm the 2 seed. So should be interesting. Luckily, we won't have to see him in that round of 32 because we can't. But man, they are playing really well. They could sneak up and bite us down in Gallagher-Iba. It would not surprise me. It would also probably not matter too much. We talked about that because we would obviously have locked up the Big 12, won it outright by a couple of games, and we've got you know, certainly the Big 12 tournament to win another game or two and solidify that 1 seed in the Midwest. What do you think happens in this game?
I think they're going to be jacked up for it. I mean, it's a tough game, but there's not a whole lot to play for, but pride and for, you know, keeping your streak going. We don't win in Stillwater a lot.
Yeah.
I think Bill will remind those folks that we don't win there very often. It's even, you know, no matter what that team is, they're good or bad, it's just tough to play. And Gallagher Ibe is going to be amped up, but I think we can pull out a win. I think this team's got what it takes to go down there, you know, quiet that hot team. But we'll see. Like you said, I don't think it really matters, but, you know, for the folks at home wanting to see a good game, I want to see a team worthy of a number one or a number one overall seed, you're going to have to come out and play well.
Yeah, are we going to be ranked number one? I didn't even think about that now.
Yeah, I think we will.
Oh, geez.
Villanova lost to Butler, and Gonzaga lost to the BYU Cougars last night. So, yeah, we'll be number one.
Well, I guess you want to be number one this time of year, right? This is the time you want to be number one. So we'll see what happens in that Oklahoma State game. Hopefully, Andrew, we have another 2-0 week with a double-digit wins in both games, right? We'll see what happens there. We will also keep you posted on the status of Bitch, I'm Frank Mason 2. And
Any update? Check your DMs.
Oh, all right, hang on.
Paul, you slide back into your DMs on that.
Slide back into those DMs. I do have an update. Nope, it was someone tweeting me about Bill Walton.
Oh, okay.
not that interesting. So there you go. I will definitely keep everyone updated though. The vinyl talk. By the way, when we put out that we're going to do the vinyl with the B-side of Bitch, I'm Frank Mason 2, there was a lot of interest in that. There were some folks that seemed pretty interested.
Well, I mean, the only way that's going to happen is if we have enough interest and we do a Kickstarter. And if it doesn't go through, then it won't happen. Like, so people are going to have to put the money where their mouth is and do that. We'll see if it's possible, but I will do all the logistical work it takes to get that press into vinyl, do the Kickstarter, but people have got to be out there and do it. So
would you we'll buy a record player just just to play Bitch, I'm Frank Mason on your vinyl?
Oh, totally.
All right. I hope this happens. I really hope this happens. I will buy the record without the record player and then just frame it. Like,
right. Well, I was going to buy two. just for that purpose. Yeah.
I like that. All right. Well,
so while we're working on this, if someone out there wants to design a jacket cover for the Bitch, I'm Frank Mason record, I'm looking at you, Coloring KU. I'm looking at you, a couple other people who do a lot of graphic design KU stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Design us a jacket cover that we can use for the vinyl press.
Even if it doesn't happen, like, that's a sweet thing to tweet out, right?
Yeah.
You will get guaranteed retweets from me and Andrew without a doubt. If there's basically anything that has Bitch, I'm Frank Mason on it, we'll probably get a retweet from me, let's be honest. But there you go. All right, Andrew, a little perspective before we get out of here. 26-3 this team, Andrew. 14-2 in the Big 12. Hard to believe how well this team has done. Really exciting as we get so close to March. February flew by. We are almost to postseason basketball, and I can't wait. I'm so, so excited.
March is on Wednesday.
Wow. The madness is upon us. All right. Well, let's get out of here. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We really, really appreciate it. If you like what you hear, please do us a quick favor. It takes about 10 seconds. Go out to iTunes, leave a rating and a 5-star rating and a comment. Helps us to get the podcast out to new listeners. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so. It's the fastest way to get the podcast to your mobile device. We are going to talk to you next Sunday, previewing the Big 12 tournament and some March Madness talk. Until then, rock job. I tried to tell him,
Every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the
fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing. And look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks.